University law professor is calling it an ominous sign for presidential advisor Karl Rove. Rove is going back in front of a grand jury in the investigation of the leak of the CIA officer's name. AP correspondent John Solomon has more from Washington.
This is probably his last chance to convince the grand jury that he did nothing wrong and to explain if there are any discrepancies between his account and those of other witnesses, such as the journalists he's talked with or other White House officials.
There's no guarantee Rove won't be indicted. Unhappy endings in the cases of a missing Virginia college student and a missing New York mother. Police have confirmed they found the remains of 17-year-old Taylor Beal. In Virginia Today, her mother said she's grateful for all the people who've helped.
Thank you from the bottom of my sad and broken heart. God bless.
And a body thought to be a woman whose 4-year-old was left on a New York City street has been found in a Pennsylvania landfill. A Jewish Air Force Academy grad is suing the Air Force. He says officials and cadets are illegally imposing Christianity on people at the school. Mickey Weinstein has 2 sons at the school and says they've been subjected to anti-Semitic slurs. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 30 points. The NASDAQ lost 19. S&P 500 down 5 points. This is AP Radio News.
It's 2 minutes past the hour. I'm Jim Cleefield, Westchester's soft favorites with a WFAS News update. An accused drunken student pilot who allegedly flew a stolen plane from Connecticut to Westchester Airport is now charged with that crime. Felipe Patricio of Connecticut has pleaded innocent. There were 2 16-year-olds on board at the time of the incident, which took place in June, and also several beer cans were found inside the plane. More protection for domestic violence victims in Westchester. County Executive Andy Spano has signed a new law outlawing discrimination against victims when it comes to dealing with landlords and employers. Now, County Executive Andy Spano, in signing that law, says that victims have enough trouble dealing with their abusers, saying they shouldn't have to worry about losing their homes or jobs as a result of what he calls the spillover effect of violence. Yonkers has recorded its 10th homicide of the year. 2 suspects are nabbed after a man is gunned down on a city street. Police say Kareem Foreman was fatally gunned down on Spruce Street. Police are saying the shooting may have stemmed from a dispute. The Environmental Protection Agency and General Electric have made an historic agreement on dredging PCBs from the upper Hudson River. It's a big step forward in the delayed Superfund cleanup plan for a stretch of the river where GE dumped PCBs from 2 factories for decades until it was banned in the 1970s. Some of the survivors of Sunday's terrible boat accident on Lake George are talking about the tragedy. For example, 67-year-old Helen Niles, she was trapped under the Ethan Allen tour boat after it capsized, and she watched in horror as dead bodies floated by. Now, she was also unable to swim to a life jacket because her shoes and sweater were waterlogged. Luckily, she was plucked from the water by a man on a personal watercraft. I'm Jim Cleefield, AM 1230, WFAS News. Now let's check in with the WFAS Weather Center and meteorologist Kevin Oppler.
We have overcast skies overnight, some areas of patchy fog, drizzle 60 to 65, morning clouds and drizzle, that'll give way to some showers throughout the afternoon, highs will reach close to 70, but the heavy rain moves in at night, it'll become steady, breezy, 60 to 65, Saturday will continue breezy, periods of rain heavy at times in the 60s, and mostly cloudy, remaining cool on Sunday with a couple more showers. From the WFAS Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kevin Hoppler.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Good evening and welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney right here on WFAS AM 1230. Tonight we have not one, but 2 very special guests from Ability Beyond Disability. First, we'll start with Sharon Donosky. Good evening, Sharon.
Good evening, Bernie. Great to be here. Thank you.
And Sharon, what do you do at Ability Beyond Disability?
I'm the Vice President of Development and Community Relations there.
Thanks for coming tonight. And we also have Jill Gentile. And Jill, welcome.
Thank you, Bernie.
And what do you do at Ability Beyond Disability?
I'm the Director of Programs and Services for our New York office, which is located in Mount Kisco.
Well, let's start with a little history. I'm sure our listeners would like to know about how Ability Beyond Disability got started and what its heritage is.
Well, it's a really great story. It started about 52 years ago when there were parents, and they had a child with developmental disabilities, and they put a want ad in the newspaper. And the want ad said, are there any other families out there who are looking for help in providing alternatives for their children? 7 families answered that ad, and they met in the living room, and they started Ability Beyond Disability.
And where was this?
This was in Danbury, Connecticut, 1953.
And now how many offices are there?
Now we have over 100 residences. We have about 150 to 200 employers who employ the people we serve. And we serve close to 1,000 people. So from 7 to 1,000 people, that's a huge difference.
Any local offices in Westchester?
We have places in Mount Kisco. And we also have residences in Katona, Lewisboro, Carmel,
Cortland Manor,
and Buchanan.
Right.
Wow, that's quite a story. What is the mission of Ability Beyond Disability?
Our mission is to enable individuals whose independent skills are impaired because of various disabilities, whether it's developmental or neurological, and to help them achieve independence through enabling them for self-reliance and to be able to be independent at home, work, and in their community.
And Jill, what is the typical age of a child who would be involved in Ability Beyond Disability?
We tend to begin services for individuals as early as 16 and into adulthood, but we've had individuals who at earlier ages that we've helped intervene with family and given them support.
And is there a cap in terms of how old they have to be when they're no longer eligible?
Not at all.
So throughout the rest of their life?
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful story. And Sharon, what actually do you guys do to help further the mission? I mean, how do you actually accomplish this unbelievable task?
Well, we accomplish it through a number of ways. We offer residential alternatives for the people we serve, and those can be from in-home supports where we go into a family member's home and help the family members with a child or an adult, to group homes, and we have a lot of group homes, about 50 different group homes for people. And we also have something that is somewhat unique, and that is supported independent living programs, where someone might have an apartment or a condo, and we go in as much as it's needed. So we might go in once a week, we might go in once a day, to make sure that they're getting the supports they need to succeed in the community. And then we help people find jobs. We help them acclimate to the community, and we help them to integrate into the community. And for those who may not quite be ready for work, we offer volunteer opportunities, sensory stimulation, recreational activities so that they can get used to becoming part of the community. And then we firmly believe just about everybody is able to work.
And these group homes, are they licensed?
Yes, they are.
Who are they licensed by?
We have a variety of funding sources. In New York State, they're licensed by the Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disability Office. Connecticut is Department of Mental Retardation. So we have strict guidelines and regulations that we have to adhere to in order to operate them.
And when these people find jobs, what types of employers are hiring your children and adults?
Oh, there's a wide range from the local mom and pop shop to the boutique or, you know, deli, and places such as the Pepsi Bottling Group or the Food Emporium or Duracell or General Electric, Behringer Engelheim, Sendant Mobility. Lots of companies end up employing the people.
And are these paying jobs?
They certainly are.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is there ever any issue in terms of integrating people into the workplace?
It's actually interesting that you asked the question, because our firm belief is that everyone should be integrated into the workplace. However, for many years, the norm has been what you would call sheltered workshops, production centers, and it's believed that we're one of the first in the country that's actually closed its production center. We no longer take that kind of work in for people. Rather, we have every single person we serve in a community setting at employers, and some employers have been good enough to say, look, you can use our facility for contract work, and your consumers can come here and work, and then they can use our cafeteria or whatever else in order to integrate with people who don't have a disability.
And when they work for these employers, are they employees receiving a paycheck, or are they more like independent contractors?
It can go either way. We have a lot of individuals who are hired independently by the employer and are paid same benefits. And then we have people who we contract, where we provide a service where we're in there working with the individual and they get paid through us. However, the company will pay us for the work.
And is there any charge to be in the program?
No, not at all.
No, as a matter of fact, it's often some wonderful tax incentives to participate.
For the employer?
Yes.
And what about for the people who are part of the Abilities with Disability program? Do they have to pay a fee?
Most people, no, they don't. The people who come for us for services are funded through various funding sources, whether it's federal or state or private So, no, there's no fee.
What does the term community integration mean?
Well, hopefully in 5 or 6 years it means nothing. But right now it means for the individual who is disabled being a part of the community as much as possible. As Sharon said, you know, they're not segregated in a site-based program for addability. They're doing what they want to do in their community, whether it's volunteering, going out and doing social events, or having a job.
And just so our listeners have a good understanding, just tell us about some of the types of people who are serviced by your organization. Are these people who have physical disabilities, mental disabilities?
It's a very wide range. We have people who are developmental disabled, meaning that they were born with a disability, or individuals who have acquired a brain injury or neurological impairment. And, yeah, we have people who have intense physical impairments and medical disabilities as well.
Are there any additional insurance requirements that employers need to be wary of?
No, not. And that's one of the things that employers need to know. It's, you know, it is a win-win situation because, it, you know, hiring someone with a disability is there's no difference. You know, usually you get a better worker.
There's actually a restaurant, and I think it's a great example. It's called Chuck's Steakhouse, and you won't mind me mentioning his name, Hank Sakara. Started hiring our folks about 2 years ago to help him do the setup and so forth and so on. And now we're the only ones that he comes to for this. He doesn't hire independently, and he said this has been the easiest thing because, number one, we do all the training. We guarantee that the work will be done. We make sure we show up in any snowstorm. And the people who do the work, you know, they hate having a day off. You know, their preference is to be able to work. And we hear so many instances where, you know, there's a consumer and he's saying, oh, no, it's Friday, I'm so depressed. And you say, why are you depressed? Because it's the weekend, I can't come back to work on Monday. So you end up hiring some of the most dedicated employees that you'll ever have. And we make it really, really simple, and we guarantee the work will be done. So whatever work has to be done, it's our guarantee that it's going to happen.
This is Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We've got two very special guests this evening, Jill Gentile and Sharon Donosky, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Littman Crooks, in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at lkllp.com.
Welcome back. This is Bernie Crooks. We welcome your questions at 693-5700. We have Jill Gentile and Sharon Donosky here from Ability Beyond Disability. And Jill, tell us about some of the support systems that you put in place for your clients.
Well, each individual that we serve has different needs, obviously, and what we try to do is we try to develop person-centered planning for each individual as to what it is that they will need to become independent and the type of supports day-to-day that they need in their home or their workplace. So some of the support systems could be a service coordinator who's going to help them get a job or look for housing or you know, go to the doctors, or a direct care staff who's going to help that person do their budgeting, help them with their cooking and their grocery. It really depends on the individual, and there's a wide range of supports that is available from a direct care all the way to a, you know, physical therapist that can give them PT.
What is a service coordinator? Is this a trained person?
A service coordinator is a trained person, and they are, in New York State, the center of the individual. They basically are the one that advocates and gets the services for that person as to what they need. You start with a service coordinator, and the service service coordinator works through whether someone needs residential services, community-based services such as, you know, vocational, and they work with the family and the individual and make sure that the services are delivered in quality.
So are they like an advocate?
Absolutely.
And does each service coordinator serve more than one family?
Service coordinator has a caseload, yes, and there's a limit based on, you know, the regulations by the state. They could have about 15 to 20 individuals that they serve in a variety of capacities.
And do they work for your organization or for the state?
They work for a variety of organizations. Our organization provides the service of service coordination, and the individual with disabilities chooses their service coordinator. So, and we're one of the agencies that provides it.
Now, I understand you provide help with residential placement support. Tell us about that.
We offer, as Sharon indicated, a wide range. We have residential group homes, which offers 24/7, meaning, you know, the supports are there 24 hours a day, to our supported independent living, where we assist somebody in getting an apartment, signing a lease, and we provide whatever level of supports they need, whether it's 10 hours a week, 2 hours a day, and we assist them in whatever it is that they need to become independent, whether it's grocery shopping, paying their bills. So it's really based on the individual as to what kind of services that they require, and that's what we do.
So let me make sure I understand this. Somebody who's in your program is living with their parents and decides they want to go out and live in an apartment. You'll actually help them find a place and negotiate a lease?
Absolutely. We'll work with the family, the individual, as to what skills they have and what kind of supports they're going to need, how are they going to access transportation. We'll look for an apartment, help them engage in a lease, and then have our residential program will provide the staff, and then we'll assist them in whatever they need day to day, whether it's, you know, paying their rent, going grocery shopping, getting to the doctors.
And what about going to work?
Going to work, we will help them with transportation or get them transportation. Yeah, it's a whole myriad of services.
And help them find a job.
It's just amazing. Is there any other group out there that does what you do?
It's interesting. There are a number of groups that will do pieces of what we do. I think we're a bit unique because we do such a range of services, and I think the other thing that makes us unique is we don't focus on any particular disability. There will be organizations that will focus primarily on people with developmental disabilities. We don't do that. We offer a wide range because our feeling is it doesn't matter what the diagnosis is. What really matters is what is the service that this individual needs to fulfill their dreams, their wishes, and essentially do the same things that you and I take for granted every day of the week. That's our goal, is to help them reach that.
Now, I know you have paid staff, right?
Oh, yes.
And who pays for them? Is that all from the state, or is there also fundraising?
Oh, there's fundraising. It used to be that the state probably paid maybe 98-99%. I think we are really funded around 89-90%, and that's on a $41 million budget. So we need to raise money. We do raise money, and we've been very fortunate that we have a lot of support both in the New York and in the Connecticut communities for what we do.
So a gift to you would be tax deductible?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if somebody wanted to give, can they do it on the Internet, or is there a phone number to call?
Go to abilitybeyonddisability.org, and you can give right online.
And tell me about some of the fundraising events. I know there was a walkathon recently.
The walk is coming up, so there's still a chance for you to participate and all your listeners to participate. It's October 16th, and this is the second one that we've done, and it's really the only one of its kind for people with disabilities. So to get out and show your colors would be a wonderful thing. It's 10 o'clock. It is in Danbury in Rogers Park. Last year we had 1,500 people walk, and if there's any indication, I think we're going to have even more people this year.
And in addition to the paid employees that you have working for your great organization, are there any volunteers?
We do have volunteers, and we have some unique volunteer opportunities. One of them is called Adopt a Home. And as we mentioned, we have a lot of residences. And you can imagine the upkeep on all those residences. So a lot of times groups, church groups, service groups, companies, corporations, great team building will get together and take on a project for a day. And the project can be landscaping, sealing a driveway, you know, painting a deck, or all kinds of things that will make the home feel more like a home and really have people have a wonderful opportunity and experience.
So if somebody wanted to get involved in this, what would they do?
They should call Ability Beyond Disability, and there is a 800 number. The number in New York is 203-775-4700, but the New York number is 1-888-832-8247, and the person to contact is Judy Hall at extension 3171.
Excellent. Jill, tell me about the Money Club.
Money Club. That's a way that our staff are able to give back. We not only do we have wonderful donors, we have a great group of staff who donate parts of their paycheck to help fund recreational events for the consumers. People who don't have money to go to camp or want to go on a special trip, the individuals will apply to the Money Club, and the Money Club will fund them. One of our group homes in Cortland went to Disney World this year because the Money Club paid for all their Disney passes.
So these are employees of your organization,
yes,
who voluntarily give a portion of their paycheck.
Every 2 weeks they take,
yep,
whether it's $1, $10, and it goes to the Money Club.
And each year they raise around $15,000 a year, which I think just kind of shows you the kind of dedicated staff that Ability Beyond Disability has. So if someone's looking for services, the people we have working for us are just some of the most extraordinary people in the world.
Yeah, we were talking before the show, Jill and Sharon and I, about the extraordinary type of person that it takes to work with these people, and then to also give money on top of that. It is truly remarkable. This is Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. You can hear us every Thursday night on WFAS AM 1230. We're willing to take your questions at 693-5700, and we'll be right back with Jill and Sharon right after these messages.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick, and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. This is your host, Bernie Crooks. We have two very special guests this evening, Jill Gentile and Sharon Donosky from Ability Beyond Disability. And we're talking about a truly amazing organization and an amazing group of people. And I know our listeners are interested very much in what you ladies have to say. And from a standpoint of placing a child or an adult in your organization, I know there must be questions about accreditation and how do you guys differentiate yourself from other groups that may be out there.
Well, we are accredited by the Commission on Accreditation for Rehabilitation Facilities, and we have our next accreditation actually coming up about a month from now. But at our last accreditation, it was really an exciting event for us, because what we found is, you know, we play a very unique role in this country. And what we're doing with person-centered planning, what we're doing in terms of community integration, we learned were some of the first steps any organization is taking in this direction. We had several superlative citations in terms of what we were doing, and I can still remember the surveyor saying, well, it's very seldom that we ever give, you know, a page or two of commendations, but we received four.
Wow. What can I say?
That's how we felt.
Yeah. Now, I know a substantial, a decent part of what you do focuses on working with seniors.
It's interesting because we've almost learned this by default, and that is we started 53 years ago, and many of the people that we serve are aging. Several years ago, we actually had the first person who they believe was the oldest person with Down syndrome pass away in one of our facilities. And there are some real issues that we need to face as both a country and a nation as it relates to people aging with disabilities. We're not yet equipped to address what's going to be happening in the future. Someone who has Down syndrome will have Alzheimer's. There's a predisposition to Alzheimer's for people with Down syndrome, and we've been learning how to care for people who have a disability coupled with Alzheimer's. We've been learning how to address issues of dementia. We've been learning how to address issues of Alzheimer's and cancer and disabilities, and so our experience has been one that's become very hands-on, and we're very concerned about what we need to do in the future to address this, and we're looking at how can we best adapt our facilities to meet the needs of individuals who are aging, and how can we develop the staffing to be able to focus on what's going to be a very critical need in the country in the future.
That's amazing how that's evolved. I'm sure they didn't think of that as a need in 1953.
They're not really thinking of it as a need in 2005 either, and it's something we've got to begin to facing.
A couple of times, Sharon, you've mentioned the term sensory enrichment. Tell us what that means. Jill, you want to take a shot at that?
Sure. Sensory enrichment is one of our services, many services that we provide are dayhab services, and that's for individuals who are not prepared to work, so they come in and they learn various skills and they go out in the community. Well, we have a specialized program called sensory enrichment for individuals who have severe physical and medical disabilities. And the individuals that come to our sensory program are integrated with our rehab clinic, and their specialization is their day involves enhancing their speech, their physical therapy, their occupational therapy, and they have a variety of special programs that they do during the day to enhance that, and it's quite unique. And people are now coming to our program, and we have a waiting list for it.
Not everyone receives these services, though, right?
No, it's just for it's for individuals who need more support, more staffing, and as well as the therapy.
So that's decided on a case-by-case basis?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about some of the vocational services you offer?
We offer a variety of vocational services that go from supported employment. That's where we'll go into a work environment with a crew of individuals, whether it's a grocery store or a company, and do a certain task. But we'll have a job coach there. The person is there to assist the individuals with the work and help them get, you know, with making sure the job is done. And then we'll have environments where we'll place somebody. Somebody will go, we'll help them apply for a job, say the local Target. They'll fill out the application, we'll support them through the interview, they'll get hired, our staff will train them, and then we'll provide ongoing supports until they've mastered the job, and then just do follow-ups. So it's a range from more needs to independent needs.
Now, you also provide transitional services from school into the adult world?
Yes, that's a very big need for everybody in this area, Westchester and Connecticut as well. What we're trying to do is we work with the individuals when they graduate from the school system to adult services. It's a very traumatic time for families and individuals who have been in the school system with many supports and then going into the work site or into day programs or in their own residential. So we'll work with families and schools and help them plan to the kind of services that they want once they reach the age of 21.
And once they reach 21, what happens?
21, that's where they choose whether they want to go into a vocational setting or into residential. And it's a scary thing, just like people going off to college.
We're speaking with Jill Gentile and Sharon Donosky from Ability Beyond Disability. This is WFAS AM 1230, and we'll be right back after this message.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lipman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Lipman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. This is Bernie Crooks with Jill Gentile and Sharon Donosky, and we've learned an awful lot about ability beyond disability. But why don't you tell us about some of the biggest challenges you guys have had over the years?
I think the biggest challenges and the ones that we face in the future are, number one, staffing. There's a looming crisis in terms of direct care staff in this country with baby boomers aging. And so we always like to make an appeal that if you have a dedicated heart and want to make a real difference in someone's life, come work for Ability Beyond Disability. Certainly the issue of aging is a huge staffing concern, is another concern. And the third concern is really finding property. You know, Westchester property values are a bit pricey, and so finding property for group homes always continues to be a challenge.
Well, anytime there's challenges, there's also going to be some successes, and I'm sure we've had a few of those over the years.
We have. We've had some wonderful successes. Certainly community integration is a great success. And I want to just kind of leave with a story that talks a little bit about someone who had been in our sheltered workshop for 18 years. And when he heard that he had a job in the community, he went down to all of his cohorts, put his fist in the air, and said, "I'm so out of here." And that's what it's all about, is really making a difference in people's lives.
How did that make you feel when he did that?
We felt great. We felt great.
All right. I'm sure that this is a team effort. Tell us a little bit about your staff, what kind of training they go through, how many people you have.
Well, as Sharon said before, we have over 700 employees, and the training is a very intensive two-week orientation and then ongoing thereafter. And we have a great amount of staff who have longevity with the agency. Our management staff has been averaged there for 15 years. We're very proud of our staff, and they're very dedicated.
And the training that they receive?
The training is a huge gamut, from learning how to, you know, care for people with disabilities, to how to develop person-centered planning goals with them, all the way to the medical, which is CPR, and learning how to administer medications.
And the people who work there, do they have to receive any kind of certification, or they simply apply for a job and then you train them?
Pretty much they apply for a job, and we train them, and we train them and train them and train them for the entire time they're there, so that they get a lot of education just by coming to work for us.
So even if they've been there a long time, they still continue to get training?
Yes, they do.
And how do you know when somebody's ready to go out and do it? To just say, okay, I'm now going to go work with somebody.
They're ready to work with someone after 2 weeks, but what they do is always enhance their skills so that they can continuously be better at it and get more satisfaction in being able to help people more and more.
And I just want to emphasize a point. You serve people in Connecticut and in Westchester.
Westchester, Putnam, and Dutchess counties as well.
And just for our listeners, give them the website and the phone number and contact information again in case they want to get in touch with you ladies.
The website is abilitybeyonddisability.org, and they can reach us at 1-888-832-8247.
This is truly a fascinating story, how this has developed over the last 50 or so years, and I truly wish you ladies the best of luck to keep up this outstanding work. And this is Bernie the attorney signing off on WFAS 1230. Speak with you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Sweet when we first started going out, and all my friends told me how